This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
As a church, we've been refocusing on Jesus in recent weeks. And let's not be mistaken about that. We haven't just decided to, but the Spirit of God has been drawing us to do so. It's good to focus on Jesus. He has the preeminence in all things. He has the first place in all things. Colossians 3 tells us, doesn't it, to set our hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We're to focus on Jesus because that's the only way we'll get where we're going. It's as we behold him, the Bible says, we are changed to be more like him. And becoming more like him is where we are going. It's the very clear destination that the Father has set on course for our lives. We heard last year about cultivating the new creation in Christ. The object, the goal of all cultivation is that we become more and more like Jesus. Because Jesus said, my Father is the gardener. And the Father had in mind when he made us new creatures in Christ, it says, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son Jesus. So God says, we've got to look at him because we're going to look like him. We've got to look at Jesus because we're going to look like Jesus. Sometimes when Charlotte, the children and I are in the car on a journey, Isabel sits in the front with me and Lucy and Charlie are in the back, and Charlotte is in the middle of them, sort of wedged between the two seats. And Charlotte and I will be chatting away about something. Charlotte's my wife, by the way, for those of you who don't know me very well. Charlotte and I will be chatting away about something, and I can't help it. When we talk, I like to look at her. So intermittently, whilst I'm driving, I look in the rear view as we're having a conversation. And Charlotte reminds me gently, watch the road. Watch the road. In other words, look where you're going. I'm not going to get us where we're going if I'm not watching where we're heading. To be moving forward and looking behind is a surefired way of not making intended progress and could in fact prove fatal in that context. This is why the Spirit of God is drawing our attention, our focus to Jesus. He wants us to get where we're going. And where we are going, the destination he set on course for the journey of our lives is to become more and more like his Son. You know, there's something Jesus says to the church in Ephesus in Revelation. He says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know that you cannot bear those who are evil. I know that you have tested those who are apostles and are not and have found them liars. I know that you have persevered. I know that you have patience. I know that you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Who thinks everything on that list is pretty commendable? That's pretty commendable. Do you know he ends that message to the church by saying, repent? Why? Because he says, you have left your first love. Who has the first place in all things? Who has the first place in all things? Who then is the first love? Yeah. We can work. We can labor. We can be patient. We ourselves cannot bear those who are evil. We can test those who say they're apostles and are not. We can persevere. We can have patience. And we can labor for his name's sake and not grow weary. But you can do all of that and leave Jesus. And that's not the idea. That's why Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples, he mentions those who did plenty of exploits in his name and says, away from me, I never knew you. In that chapter in Revelation, he then says, repent and do the first works. What was the first work? Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes. So the Spirit of God is drawing our focus afresh to Jesus. And you know, as the Spirit of God is doing that, we are going to encounter opposition to our being so focused. And I'm glad of what Paul Nicholas brought this morning, because I just love it when the word is confirmed in the meeting, when people contribute, led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to be sort of majoring on what Paul brought. So one of the biggest oppositions, I believe, to our focusing on Jesus and his kingdom can be our own needs. There are needs in this room. We all have them. Legitimate needs. But you know, God doesn't want them to be our first focus. In fact, he doesn't want us to be overly concerned about them. Hear me right. He doesn't want us to ignore them or deny them either. He wants us to truly get that as sons, and Jesus the Son exemplifies this perfectly, our Father shall meet every one of them so that we can be free to focus on Jesus. Our Father shall meet every one of them. You might say that's quite a claim, but it's true. Paul says to the church in Philippians, and my God shall supply all your need. What did he leave out? Nothing. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every need. You might say, but I have this need. I've asked and I still have it. Well, we'll ask again because he's true. I've got current needs in my life. And come to God with them and wrestle with them. I don't conclude that because they're still unmet, that God is not the God who meets my every need. No, he is. Right. He meets our every need. Yes. I'm sure there are countless testimonies in this room of God meeting our needs. You've heard Charlotte and I stand up the front and testify to the God who meets our every need. Patricia Sheffield posted this on Facebook the other day. I hope she doesn't mind, but she said it's out there in the public domain, so I'm sure it's okay. Paul and I were discussing the trouble that seems to stalk many homes, workplaces, schools, people, countries. But in John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus. We can become troubled by meditating on our own needs, by overthinking them. And what the Spirit of God wants is for us to meditate more and more on the reality of who Jesus is. That's why he's drawing our focus, because when we see Jesus, we are changed. As we see the Son, the Spirit of God conforms us to become more like his Son. See, to that end, I want us to, you don't have to turn there, you can do, to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and read from there through to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. We're going there because we're going to look at Jesus, the Son. And as we do, I believe even as the word comes, there's going to be a grace, an anointing of the Spirit, a release from heaven for unmet needs this morning, just by divine gift of the Father. Just because he's a good God. Just because he loves you and he loves me. So, because he doesn't want us distracted as we give our whole attention to Jesus. Testimony is going to be birthed in this room this morning because of a grace God is releasing, even as the word comes. And afterwards as well, I believe. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, through to Matthew 4, 4. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We've heard that this morning as well. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. First thing I believe the Spirit wants us to see about Jesus the Son this morning is that the heavens were open to him. You know, the Bible says we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I want to encourage you this morning, the heavens are open to you. The heavens are open to me. That's not in our own right. We are included in Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. That's what Romans says. The heavens are opened to us. We have access to the Father. We have access to the one for whom and by whom and through whom all things exist that do exist and for whom nothing is impossible. That's who we have access to. The heavens are opened to us. At work, I spend quite a bit of time talking to clients on the phone. And, you know, obviously, the stuff they tell me and the stuff I tell them is fairly important because I give sort of commercial legal advice. So I'm taking them through their legal and commercial options. And, you know, sometimes the line is bad and I can't quite hear them. And I'll sometimes have to say, can you repeat that? Or sometimes I'll have to end the call altogether and we'll have to speak at a more opportune time on a different line or when the client is in a different area where they can get a better signal. Do you know the exact opposite is true with God? The heavens are opened to us. There's no faulty connection between us and God. There's no barrier to our communication with him. Jesus, when he raises Lazarus from the dead, says aloud, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. The Bible says, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. There's no faulty connection. There's no barrier to the communication. The Bible says of us, he hears us because of Jesus. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Second thing about Jesus the Son, before he began his ministry, because when he was baptized, he'd not yet commenced anything. He'd not laid his hand on one sick. This was before all of that. He was baptized. It was the inauguration of his ministry. So the second thing I want us to see about Jesus the Son is before he began his ministry, before he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, before he laid his hand on one sick and healed them, before he did anything for his father called him beloved son. Before he did anything, in whom I am well pleased. Before he did anything, do you know the Father says he's well pleased with you? He's well pleased with me? The Father says the same of us? Sometimes there might be a misconception that because Jesus is the mediator and we come to the Father through him, and that is absolutely right, that the Father is somehow standoffish or aloof with us. No. Jesus says to his disciples in John 16, for the Father himself loves you. He loves you because you have loved me. And believe that I came forth from God. So the Father also calls you, us, beloved sons, in whom he is well pleased. It's good news. That's why it's called the gospel. It's good news. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. Do you know, we've recently had a son, Charlie, 4 months old. He can't do anything for us at the moment, quite literally, obviously only being 4 months. Do you know we're pleased with him? We're pleased with him. Just because we love him. Because that's what, you know, God is a good father. He's filled with delight when he looks at his children. He's a good God. Yes. He's pleased. Before you do anything for him, he's pleased. Yes. Oh, the Bible says, of course, it encourages us to find out what pleases him and do that. But there should never be any question as to who pleases him. You do. I do, just because he loves you and he loves me. It's good news. Amen. Smile is enough for us from Charlie, delights our hearts, doesn't need to do anything else. Finding out what pleases him and doing it is a heart response, a heart desire on our part because we have been so loved. Of course we want to do what pleases him because we love him, because he's loved us. Here's the crucial thing from this passage I want us to see this morning, and which I believe Paul, by the Spirit, touched upon. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It says after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. No kidding. He was hungry. No, he was conscious that he was hungry. He had a legitimate need. The enemy comes along at a time when Jesus is conscious of his legitimate need for food and says, if you are the Son, command that these stones become bread. That'll meet your need. One of the first things the enemy will try to do when we are conscious of our needs is to remind you of them. Meditate on them. Focus on that. That's right. Keep pondering your need. Who knows that it's not a sin to eat? It's not a sin to eat bread. That's how the Lord instituted the covenant meal, with bread and wine. So actually, what was the enemy tempting Jesus with here? It wouldn't have been a sin to eat bread. What was it? Let's look at it again. He comes at him when he's hungry and says, if you are the Son, command. Use your authority as a son to get your own needs met. If you're the Son, that's what you'll do. Use your authority as a son to get your own needs met. That is a complete misconception of sonship. That is a complete misunderstanding of how the Son relates to the Father. And by extension, a complete misconception of how we as adopted sons, because of Jesus, are to relate to the Father. Jesus answers, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Whilst in that response there is truth about ruling over the flesh and the importance of spiritual sustenance as well as natural, there's also truth to be seen in this. Jesus, in his answer to the enemy, was himself living by the last word that had proceeded from the mouth of the Father. What did Jesus last hear? Beloved Son. If I'm a beloved son, I don't need to command my own needs be met. I just ask my Father. Jesus knew, therefore, when the enemy came against him with this temptation, that was seeking to pervert what he'd heard. Command is an authoritative word. What was all authority in heaven and earth given to Jesus for? To make disciples of all nations, not to get his own needs met. Jesus knew that as a beloved son, which was the last word he heard proceed from the mouth of the Father, if he needed something, he could simply ask his Father for it. The Spirit of God wants you to know that as beloved sons, if you need something, you simply ask your Father. Not asking amiss to spend it on our pleasures, as James says. I'm talking about our legitimate needs, which God very much cares for and that are very close to his heart. If we want to see more of this, it's then throughout his entire teaching. Jesus actually uses what the enemy came against him with and says, he says, doesn't he? What man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? You don't need to command your own needs be met. You ask your Father. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Simple. It's good news. That's how the Son and the Father relate. And by extension, because we've been adopted as sons through Christ Jesus, he says, this is how you relate to the Father. Jesus went on to teach this consistently. We'll carry on. When he teaches on prayer, he says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they are heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you command your own needs to be met before you ask him. That's the encouragement. You don't need to posture yourself. You don't need to position, I command, you know, my table be full of bread so I can eat. No, you ask your Father. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not be in want. He lays a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He lays the table. He meets our own legitimate needs. Do we think he's insensitive to them? No. Do we think he's callous to his son's needs? No. We're not heard because of our many words. We're heard because we're beloved sons. Yeah. in whom he is well pleased, and he delights to give good gifts to us. He goes on. This, therefore, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice where the first focus is in prayer, not our own needs, but he doesn't ignore them or deny them either. He goes on when he teaches how to pray. He gives our requests a place. He says, does he say, command that these stones become bread? No, give us our daily bread. Give us, Father, we ask you. Ask your Father for your legitimate needs. And he says, ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks receives. Because we can trust him for our needs. He knows what we need before we ask. So let's not make our needs our first focus. As the Spirit of God has been encouraging us, let's first focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is faithful. He goes on, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? All legitimate needs. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I just want to quickly read this. It's the parable of the lost son. We're all familiar with the passage, and we know what it speaks to us of salvation in returning to God and being forgiven. But I just want to read it in this context here. It's from Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. So it's quite long, but I'm going to read it. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. Excuse me. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, this is the father. The father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So what does the father say to the son who stayed serving in the house? Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. This guy had been serving for so long that he'd become blinded to the reality in Christ. All that I have is yours. So God says to his sons and daughters in the house today, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. Romans says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. 2 Peter, he has already given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. He shares all with his children. He shares all. We don't have to command our own needs be met. We don't have to run after them, seek after them, be concerned about how they're going to be met. We are in Christ. And Jesus says, this is how you relate to the Father. Don't now, when you're in Christ, waste your energy trying to get your needs met. And I'm not denying disappointment. I'm not denying hurt. I'm not denying any of that. For needs that are currently, the reality of that we're facing is, well, it's not met. What I'm encouraging us is, with the truth of what God says, he's a good God, he's a good Father, his ear is open to you. And if there is a need met for you right now, he says, seek first my kingdom, focus first my son, I will take care of them. I will take care of them. He's a good Father. In looking at Jesus the Son, we grow up to become more like the Son. And we see the Father through his eyes. If it's through our knowledge of him that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness, then the Spirit of God wants us to know this about him this morning and to settle it in our hearts. Our Father is the all-loving, all-compassionate, lavishly generous God. And in knowing that, you can be free to give your first focus to Jesus, knowing that all your needs will be taken care of. They will be. Can we just stand in his presence a minute? Can we just raise our hands to God? I believe there are specific needs in this room right now that by the Spirit of God, just by divine gift of grace, he is going to meet. I believe those who are sick in their physical bodies, in Jesus' name, right now the Spirit of God is going to meet that need. Amen. I believe those who are having worries and struggles over finances, the Spirit of God is going to meet that need, and you're going to have testimony to share that your God is the God who supplies all your needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. And you can be free to give your first focus to him. I believe for those who have need in their emotional lives, in their emotions, God is going to meet that need. God is going to touch the parts and the places that need touching. He's going to speak to you the word that you need to hear, because it's by hearing the word of God, faith comes, and it's by faith the just shall live. Let's keep our hands raised. We're just going to pray to God and ask that right now. Father, thank you that you're a good God. Father, thank you that you meet every single one of our needs. And Jesus, as we come afresh now to give our focus and our attention to you, I ask, Holy Spirit of God, as hands are raised and as needs, as people are conscious of their needs in this room, I ask, Holy Spirit, right now in Jesus' name, touch the bodies that need physical healing right now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, for those who have needs in their finances, I ask and pray that you would touch their bank accounts, Father, that you would touch the things that need touching, that if it be wisdom in terms of stewardship with what they have, God, that you would supply it in Jesus' name, and that this week coming, Father, they would have testimony of the fact that you are the God who supplies all their needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, for those in their emotions, Lord, for those in their emotional lives, Lord God, that need a touch, Holy Spirit, now in the name of Jesus, we loose it, God, that there would be testimony birthed in Jesus' name. Amen. that we could be free to give our focus to you, Lord, and to seek first your kingdom as you add all these things to us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, do it now, I pray. I ask you, do it now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.